Hello, welcome to day one of the 2020 AFL exchange period and day one of Trade TV. And we're doing this every day for the next 2 weeks or so over the free agency and trade period, joined by a lot of our great reporters at the Herald Sun and around the News Corp family around Australia. And of course, kicking it off with the chief himself, Mark Robinson. So we'll get to Robbo very shortly. If you've got a question, send it in. We'll get to as many as we can in the next 20 minutes or half an hour. And if you want to find more trades, go to the Herald Sun website or download the app. We've got a live blog running all day. That'll happen all the trade period. So you won't miss any of the moves and all the analysis and news breaking, of course, as well. So quickly, we'll do a recap of what's happened today because day one, there's actually been a bit happening. Rory Atkins was the first player to move. So he's gone from Adelaide to Gold Coast as a free agent, and the Crows get a second round, end of second round compensation pick for him. Robbo, any thoughts on Rory Atkins? He didn't play too much this year.
No, he didn't. Signed a 4-year deal with a trigger for five. He's not a bad player, Rory Atkins. And the Crows were going down a youth path. They were playing kids. And
Isaac Smith has joined Geelong. That was probably the biggest news this morning. Leaving Hawthorn, he's taken a 2-year deal at the Cats. We believe he had a 3-year offer from Melbourne, so he had those two clubs to choose from, or, of course, staying at the Hawks. So that was a bit of a surprise, and we've got a few questions already on that. John wants to know, Robbo, what's your thoughts on the Cats picking up Smith? Plus, we think they're going to get Jeremy Cameron, of course, and Sean Higgins. How does that help them get better? And some other comments about the age of the list. And they're not really changing their age profile there, but they're good players, obviously.
Yeah, they are. I don't know if they're worried about their age profile. The Cats are the oldest team to field a team in a grand final. The next team was, I think, Essendon of 1923. So I don't think the Cats are worrying about their age profile. The Cats are about winning premierships. They're difficult to win. They're formulating a list. They had a pretty good list this year, as we know. They got to a grand final. Now they're going to add Sean Higgins, Isaac Smith, and probably Jeremy Cameron, so they're going to be a better team next year. So no, I'm not against that. Stephen Wells and the list management team down there, they've got to be congratulated for putting Geelong in a situation where they can contend. I think they missed the finals once under Chris Scott. So they're going to be in there when the whips are cracking. I noticed Mick McGowan this morning, our colleague here at Super Footy in the Herald Sun. Just raised discussion point about Will Isaac's run, which has just been a phenomenal asset for him. You know, will they be taking advantage? Or will he be able to use that run at the skinnier Geelong ground? But they only play 10 games there. They play, you know, elsewhere. But just a discussion point, Isaac's a pretty good player. He's a really good player. Breaks the lines. We know all that. Runs and carries. When he was playing on a wing, he was a point-post runner. So I think he'll fit in. And from Isaac's point of view, 3 years at Melbourne or 2 years at Geelong. Geelong are a successful club. And Isaac be thinking, you know, I've only got maybe 2 years to run.
He's only got three flags so far.
He's only got three. He might add another one, might add another two. And he's thinking, well, why not go to Geelong? And this is what happens when you build a pretty good football club, highly respected, good people down there, good list. It's a little wonder that players want to go to Geelong.
And Geelong, we've just seen in the last 15 minutes or so, Geelong has confirmed that Isaac Smith news and also said they will be lodging a bid for Jeremy Cameron. So we'll wait and see what happens with that. The Giants have sort of indicated that they're, you know, they want to see what the compensation is going to be before they decide, do they match that? But they're going to lose a few players, the Giants, and they're thinking they want to get some players back in, not just draft picks. They've got plenty of those. So would you be worried if you were some of these sort of maybe second-tier, third-tier Geelong players?
Yeah, I wouldn't say worried. This is the business of football. If Geelong has to strike a trade, they'll make that trade. They might have to give up a first-round draft pick. So it's the same situation with North Melbourne. You know, with Sean Higgins, they let him go. They try and do a trade. There's going to be some mid-range players that Geelong are going to be pushed out. I think everyone accepts that. You know, Radigalia's on their list. I mean, I straight away, as soon as Jeremy Cameron nominated Geelong, GWS said, that's fine. We can't do much about that. But we'll have a look at Jordan Clark. We'll have a look at Radigalia. And we'll have a look at Brandon Parfitt. Now, Parfitt signed 2 days later to extend his contract at Geelong. So I don't think that will be happening. But I would imagine that Radigalia is heavily, heavily in the minds of the Giants.
Now, on a similar sort of theme, because Giants involved again, Carlton has lodged paperwork today for free agent Zach Williams. So, again, waiting to see what the compensation might be and what the Giants do with that. But you wrote an interesting column a couple of weeks ago about Zach Williams, and I know I've seen a lot of very happy Carlton supporters on my social media feeds and some friends messaging saying they're wrapped to get him in. But what do you think he'll add to the Blues, and what's he worth in terms of a contract?
Well, I would think he's paying over. There's a report this morning the deal is 5x9, which is a lot of money for a halfback flank, and they're going to try and turn him into a midfielder. If that, for that to happen, Zach's going to have to get himself fitter. I'm not saying he's unprofessional, but he has to get himself fitter to play that role. He's a good player, and he's a really good person. The Giants have no issue with Zach Williams, a person. They loved him, and all the players and staff up there. He's a really decent person. The offer they got from the offer he got from the Blues was, as they say, and the Godfather Part One and Part Two are running on SBS at the moment. I watched a bit of Part Two last night or the other night. He got the offer. It was too big to refuse, so he's taking it now. The paper's going to be lodged with the AFL. I think they've already lodged it this morning, so the AFL will know his contract details, and what happens in this world, it'll get out. It's already got out, the range that Zach's going to get paid, so that'll affect the compensation. But he's a good player. He will improve Carlton. I don't think there's anyone in football would doubt that. But what is he? He's 25, 26 now, Zach. Now, Zach, so my belief in footy, right, is everyone takes a certain amount of time to realise that time's running out and they've actually got to get to a level of professionalism and fitness to get everything out of your body. Now, with some players, it happens first year. Sam Walsh, Rao, they hit the ground knowing this is the professional, this is the fitness levels that I have to get to, and it takes others. Petrarca. Oh, I had a really big pre-season. Now, people say, that's fantastic, Christian. Why didn't you do it 3 years ago? Okay, see, everyone's got different levels of getting to the requirements of AFL, and maybe with Zach Williams, if he can get himself really, really fit, he can get to the pretty high ceiling that his football ability can take him. So hopefully he hits the ground running and becomes a dynamic player for the Blues.
And the one other one we heard today, it's not official yet because I think they have to wait till the trade period on Wednesday. Oh, we've got some Treloar. We'll get to Treloar in a second. Just that the Gold Coast say that they've been talking to Oleg Markov from Richmond. So Richmond got Prestia, Caddy and Lynch from the Suns, and they're sort of getting their revenge a little bit with Brandon Ellis last year, and now they're going to steal Oleg Markov, which as a Richmond supporter is a little bit disappointing. I thought he showed a bit this year, but I guess you can't keep all of them, Robbo.
Showed a bit. He showed a little bit when he played seniors. He shows a lot in the VFL. Oleg Markov is, again, another terrific club person. But he wants to play senior football. And I don't think if he wants to go, Richmond aren't going to stand in his way. Now, they'll try and get a deal for him or whatever's best. How long has he been at the club for? Al, is he a free agent? I don't know.
It wouldn't be that long, but he's probably been there 4 or 5 years and played, 15, 20 games. So
Richmond are a pretty good club. They will help their players. If he goes to them and he may go to them and says, I want to play senior football, they'll make a deal for him. I think Markov would. I think Markov would get a game at not all maybe clubs, but at least half the clubs in the competition. As you said, he played some games this year. Where was he playing? Back flank.
Yeah,
it's quick. I think he came in when Titch Edwards went out, didn't he?
Yeah,
for a little bit. Cotchin got hurt for three you know, Bolt went into the middle of that stage and really sort of propelled his career, and Markov came in. So yeah, I think that'd be a good get by the Suns.
And there's obviously plenty of others that we're still waiting on, certainly with the free agency paperwork. Jeremy Cameron, as we've heard, sounds like that's going to happen pretty soon. Nothing yet on Brad Crouch and nothing on Joe Danaher, but we are expecting St Kilda and Brisbane to put in bids for those guys. There's an interesting interview this morning. Essendon CEO Xavier Campbell was on SEN chatting about some of them and the players who were leaving Essendon. He said Horatio Fantasia, there wasn't a big surprise going home to South Australia. And he said with Joe Danaher that he was closer to staying than people thought, and you know, probably take a silver lining out of the fact that it took him so long to decide. But Adam Saab was the one that they were pretty disappointed by because they sort of didn't see that one coming. But he denied that there were any culture issues at the Bombers. But interesting time down there at Tullamarine. They obviously lost their sent their football boss packing Dan Richardson yesterday. How do you see the situation at Essendon, Robbo?
How is the situation in Essendon? Well, the football department or the football program went askew this year. Now, the board can sit there and say, let's go again, no worries. There's always scapegoats. Maybe Dan Richardson is a scapegoat. Or maybe Essendon, in the end, didn't rate him. I read this morning they were just about to offer him a three-year deal, and then 2 weeks later they sack him. And he had a big supporter in Xavier Campbell, so maybe that decision came from board level because Xavier was a really, really strong supporter of Dan Richardson. So footy man out and footy man will come in. The Herald Sun wrote this morning that Brad Scott, the former North Melbourne coach, will be a high priority as a contender. They'll certainly seek him out to see if he's interested. He just got appointed to AFL Victoria. I think Brad Scott would be a terrific person to bring into that role, head of football. He's organised. He's smart. He's got, you know, terrific media savvy. So I think he'd be a really strong candidate for that role. Xavier talking about Joe Danaher was really close. Really, who cares? So what? He's gone. I don't know how you can draw a positive over. He nearly stayed. Well, he didn't. So Joe's gone. Yeah, and I agree with what he said. That's the word out of Essendon. Adam Saad took him by surprise. He was the one that took him by surprise. Culture issues at Essendon. And a lot went wrong at Essendon this year. The dual coaching didn't work. Different philosophies there, in my understanding, in terms of John Worsfold was really keen on. And remember that interview last year, when Essendon in trouble and John got up and said, it's up to the players to get themselves out. I will guide them. He was really into player empowerment. Ben Rutten's come in and sat down with all the players at the end of last year and at the end of this season and was straight down the line with them. He really put it on the players. He actually said in an interview in the Herald Sun, they will come back better. They must come back better in some shape or form. So I think Ben Rutten hit a few of them between the eyes. So he's sort of taken this player empowerment back a little bit and say, no. I'm coaching. This is what we're doing. And then they'll build that player empowerment as they develop their relationships. The Bombers are pretty keen on Josh Dunkley. Well, they're very keen on Josh Dunkley, and their belief is that Dunkley wants to go to Essendon. You know, there's a school of thought which brings in the Adam Treloar situation at Collingwood. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, if Collingwood want to get rid of Treloar, could Collingwood, the Western Bulldogs, and Essendon get in a three-way sort of trade? Treloar to the Dogs, but Treloar doesn't want to leave Collingwood. So the Dogs can be compensated a little bit for losing Dunkley. Dunkley to Essendon, maybe a draft pick to Collingwood. So, and Essendon have got Jai Caldwell. So if they can get Dunkley and Caldwell, they're still in for Ben Brown. The belief is that Melbourne might be got their noses in front there, but they're still in for Ben Brown. So if that turned around, Essendon could pick up Ben Brown, Jai Caldwell, Josh Dunkley, and maybe keep two of their first rounders. They're trying to. I think Essendon are trying to work themselves up into pick two. I think Clarkey wrote about that this morning to go after the young gun from Western Australia. I think Logan might be his name. I'll have to double check on that. But Essendon are going to be big players, though. They want to bring in players and they want to move up the draft table. But if you want to ask me about Adam Treloar, ask me about Adam Treloar. Alan?
Yeah, well, what are your thoughts on Adam Treloar, and how would you be feeling if you were a Collingwood supporter reading all this? Because even as an outsider, it all seems a bit baffling, to be honest.
Yeah, it is a little bit baffling. From afar, because Collingwood don't, not really talking. I haven't read much of their commentary. I think they've been feeding some stuff to some journos and they've been writing a little bit. From afar, Collingwood have signed Adam Treloar last year to a 5-year contract extension, heavily back-ended. Now they come out less than 12 months later and say, we don't want you. Who made the decision to offer him a 5-year deal? Who made it? Who ratified it? Which is the list manager, Jeff Walsh, the football, head of football, and the Collingwood board, they've ratified it. Now, it seems to most people, now they've got a salary cap problem. Jordan DeGoey, Darcy Moore, they signed Brodie Grundy to a 7-year deal. They've got a massive salary cap problem. I know, let's get rid of Adam Treloar. Now, the Collingwood theme song, Side by Side We Stick Together, it's not applicable right now to Adam. Why put so much faith in him? And actually, he had a pretty good season. He was the league's leading disposal winner. Now, everyone can say it's just not about disposals. No, it's not, I agree, but the point is, Adam can get the ball. Adam's a really good player. And if you were silly enough to sign him to 5 years at 900 and a heavily back-ended contract and then say we don't want you 12 months later, that's pretty sloppy. That is very, very sloppy. And Collingwood supporters have every right to say to the board and to say to the football boss and the list manager, what is going on down there? So Adam's, my understanding is he doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want to leave Collingwood. Collingwood is saying, oh, we're worried about his, you know, he's going to go without his wife or partner and his baby. And I agree with that. I said on 360 about 3 weeks ago, I said, I'd be surprised if Adam stays at Collingwood because I know how close he is to his partner. And of course, he's in love with his child. It would be challenging for him. But it's a bit disingenuous, I think, that the Pies are saying, oh, no, we want to get rid of him because of that. Collingwood made an error here, and it's their own doing. It's their own list management. And now Adam, they want to get rid of Adam. How does Adam stay? See, I'll tell you what I've read. We've all read it. Adam said, well, I want to stay, and they said, we don't want you. Who said they don't want him? Who said that? Did Ned Guy, the list manager, Jeff Walsh, the head of football, did Nathan Buckley, the coach of the Collingwood Football Club, say to Adam, we don't want you in our club? I'd be very surprised if that was said by Nathan Buckley. I would be very, very surprised. Adam's gone to ground. His manager's gone to ground. It's very, very messy. And who knows where it's ends. Does someone stay at a club? Say it's true. Does someone stay at a club after they've told you, allegedly, they don't want you? Al, we said to you at Super Footy, Al, man, you're the top end of our TPP at Super Footy. We've made an error here. We don't want you. Do you still come to work and say, no, I don't care. No worries. I'm staying. You know, we all want to be welcome. We all want to feel welcome, don't we?
Yeah, it'd be very difficult. I mean, we've had cases in the past where players, like people have brought up a Ryan O'Keefe and even a Wayne Campbell did this, I remember, at Richmond. But I think they were more like the player wanted to trade and then it didn't happen and they sort of had to stay, a bit like Joe Danaher last year. I don't remember being one where it was really the club trying to push them and they ended up having to sort of backtrack
and keep them. No, it's a very unique experience that. It's like Collingwood chasing Jeremy Cameron. They got in late. As long as I've been working on Jeremy Cameron for 2 to 3 years, And then Collingwood jumps in late, hoping to get him. And it's not going to happen. Not in this day and age. There's not going to be, you know, this treasure chest of money and warmth and relationship building in a month when a football club's been putting in 2 to 3 years with him. So I would say they've got issues at Collingwood. It's very, very messy, and clearly their salary cap is bursting if they're going to have to force Treloar out.
A couple of quick questions to finish us off. Paul asking, obviously this is something Carlton people are worried about probably at the end of every season. Is there any chance Patrick Cripps goes home to WA in your view, whether it's, you know, this year or next year? Or
No, none at all. I've got no concerns whatsoever. And I only say that, I interviewed Patrick Cripps at the start of this year. He was back in, where's he from? He's from northern Western Australia on the coast, northwest. Can't remember.
Yeah, it's not Perth, is it?
No, it's not Perth. No, he's miles away. And he was up there and we were chatting away and I asked a question. And he said, no, he's very happy at Carlton. And then we're chatting away and I said, it's very rare, Patrick, for a captain who's appointed captain and is the head and face of that football club who's helped setting the direction, helped setting the standards, helped trying to improve the team's performance as captain, and then says, I'm going home. He's a very decent man, Patrick Cripps, and he said no, he wants to stay at Carlton. And Carlton are picking up some pretty good players. They're going to be a better team with Saad and Williams there. I don't think Patrick Cripps is going anywhere.
Well, that'll be good news for Carlton fans. And we'll finish on a question here from Andrew about Hawthorn. So they're losing Isaac Smith. Are they going to bring anybody in that have you heard, or where do you think the Hawks are placed? Is it now full-on rebuild time?
Full-on rebuild to me, even North Melbourne's not having a full-on rebuild. What North Melbourne are doing is moving. They were one of the oldest teams in the competition and they finished a miserable 17th. So they roll around again with the same list profile. Or they make change, and they made change. They got rid of 11 players. So suddenly they're going from one of the oldest plus 26-year-old groups in the competition. They'll have maybe the youngest under 21, sorry, the biggest under 21 group. Is that a major rebuild? And you know what? I think it's a major identification that they had to change their list build. They've got a lot of kids there. Hawthorn, major restructure. No, not major, but they have to get rid of some senior players and bring in youth. Now, Clarkson's shown over the recent years that he likes to, a lot of years actually, that he likes to bring in mid-age players to help fix their list. I think they just signed Cole Hardigan from the Crows. So there's one. Isaac Smith's going out. Jack Gunston's an interesting one. I haven't quite heard yet. Jack say, I'm definitely staying at Hawthorn. I might have missed it. I don't think so. I haven't definitely heard that. So clubs would be chasing Jack Gunston, and Jack would be interested. He's the best and fairest winner. He's on a high. He'd be being told how important he is to the Hawthorn Football Club. So other than the discussion on those three, no, I haven't heard a lot about who they're trying to bring in. The discussion point is their use of their first round. I think they'll be going to the draft with their first round pick, which would be, what is their pick? Where they finish? 15th, 14th, 15th? Might be what, pick 5 or something? I can't recall the top of my head. Should I know? Maybe. But that list, that numbers changes a lot with academies and NGAs and et cetera, et cetera. But no, I don't know a lot about Hawthorn.
If you're a Hawthorn fan, what would you be expecting next year? Is it a bit of pain in the next couple of years, or can they challenge again soon?
No, they're not challenging again. No, Not, I'd say my opinion. They're not challenging again. They had a wonderful period. They had all the pieces in place in their setup. They had a really good game plan. They were selfless. They were hard. They played premiership winning football and they won the flags. And unfortunately, it takes you a long time to build a premiership group, and it's going to take Hawthorn a bit of time. You know, you just can't say, "Oh, the genius of Clarkson will turn it around," because I'm not being a smartass here, but where was the genius of Clarkson this year? If he's the ultimate genius, footy's not like that. So Clarkson has proved himself to be an outstanding coach, but you've got to have the cattle. And when he's got the cattle, he can turn a good group of individuals into a great team, or even some sensational individuals into a great team. I don't know if he's got the individual brilliance out there at the moment, but you've got to get that in. And once you can get that in, I think Clarkson can mould the team. That's where his genius comes in. But if you haven't got the players, you haven't got the talent, it's very, very difficult. I'll put it another way to you, Al. You watch the preliminary finals, and everyone watching, we all watch the preliminary finals. Richmond, Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval. What a game of football. What a game. So you ask yourself, can my team play to that level? Fierce, ferocious, the pressure, the tackling, the behind the play, kicking goals, using Clarkson term, tough enough for long enough. Richmond were tough enough for long enough that day, that night. Is your team at preliminary final level, let alone getting into a grand final? It's hard. There's not a lot of teams around, I think, with that firepower, defensively, offensively, talent, role-playing, selflessness, game plan. It all got to come together. And Richmond have got it together, and Richmond have been able to keep it together for, 4 years now, which is an absolute, it's more than a credit. It's brilliant. It's brilliant to watch, and they do it differently every year. This year they had so much hardship. Everyone hated them. They had injuries. Last year they had injuries. They're just a fantastic football club. Because that's the other thing that people have got to be aware of. A team doesn't win the premiership. A club wins the premiership. Now, just for example, look at the off-field staff. Look at the off-field staff of, say, Brisbane. Who are the key people that get up there? Chris Fagan, coach, Greg Swan, CEO, David Noble, head of football. Experience. Look at North Melbourne this year, and they finished 17th. Brody Rawlings, first year football manager. Ben Amafio, first year CEO. Reece Shaw, first year coach. Essendon last year. You know, Dan Richardson been there for 3 years. Ben Rutt was into his first. Xavier Campbell's been there for 5 or 6 years. Crows, first-year coach, football manager, first-year football manager. You know, so you really have to establish what I call the pillars off-field, which it's a bit intangible, but the pillars off-field help present a very professional football team. You know, they put the right people in the right spots. So, you know, that these teams building have got to make sure that they've got the right people in the right spots off field, which then allows the footy team and the coaching department to want for nothing, to, you know, set really high standards and be really professional. So I don't know how we got onto that, Al, but...
Well, I think it actually kind of wraps it up neatly, because it sort of ties back to what we're talking about off the top, which is still long. And there's some people maybe questioning why they're getting some of these older players in. But when you say it's so hard to build that group to a level where you can play in preliminary finals, play in grand finals, and when you're there, you want to stay there and make the most of it. You don't want to be, thinking about too much about what happens in 5 or 10 years. And obviously they don't want to lose all their draft picks. They've got a few good ones as well. But if they can add to their team, and as you say, when players want to go to a strong club, that's how you give yourself a few shots at it, which is what you need, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But Jeremy Cameron's only 26, buddy. So Jeremy Cameron's going to be there for the next 6 years. So, you know, he comes in. Sean Higgins might have two in him. Isaac Smith might have two in him. Players are going to come and go. I think Geelong's lease management I think it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'll say it again. Who would you rather be? Melbourne, Essendon, Geelong, North Melbourne, Adelaide. Mate, you'd rather be Geelong. And again, look at the pillars down there. Brian Cook, Chris Scott. I mean, they're Colin Carter, the chairman. How's that for three pillars of your football club?
Stephen Wells as well. Cook.
And who, sorry?
Stephen Wells.
Stephen Wells and Lloydie. I mean, it's a good group. So you've got to get your field group right, and they've got to be aligned as well. Like, you can't bring in Al Payton and Al gets in there as a footy boss and says, well, I want to do this, this, and this, and this. We go, hey, hang on, Al. You know, this is an administration and board formation. There can't be any rogues. You've got to be aligned all the way through. And when you get that alignment, and I'm not sitting here saying that I know everything about this, but I tell you what I do know, when I see clubs with the pillars in place and strong alignment, there's no surprise that they're really strong on field. That's why it's a club. It's a club premiership. It's a successful club is not just a successful footy team.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. Anymore? We're wrapping up about 10 minutes ago. No, we'll pull the
we
plug
can
there.
Get going.
It's been a great chat, but we've got to get back on the blog because there might be some trades happening. So
you're
thank you
me
very
off.
Much. Yeah, sorry, Rob.
You invite me on and kick me off. No, that's all right, Al.
We'll get you back before trades are done. But yeah, obviously we'll be keeping a very close eye on Treloar and Cameron and all these ones, and who knows what else might drop out.
But, yeah, the beauty about doing a blog, you can lay down on your couch and do it at the same time. It's really nice, isn't it?
Thanks for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for jumping on. Get on the Herald Sun website, as I said, the app. Get a subscription, get on the blog, and follow us for the next 12 or so days through what is going to be a very absorbing trade period. We'll catch you again soon.
See you.